Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd remain standing and open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, and we're going to read from chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and reading from verse 16 and verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that word inspiration comes from the root word to inspire or inspire, and it actually means to be breathed or God breathed. So all scripture is God breathed, and that's because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in right wiseness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature or complete or finished off, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come under thy shed blood, the blood of thy Son Jesus tonight, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, as we once again open your word to gain a better understanding of this great message which your prophet William Branham brought to us. And as we come to thy word, help us to see the things that your prophet is speaking to us out of this message and out of your word. For the spoken word is the original seed. And Father, we know that in that original seed is where the life is. And so we know, Lord, that you have kept a vigilant watch over your word. And we also know that you came down and vindicated the message which you gave to your prophet. For he did not come with his own thoughts. And so, Father, we believe that every thought that was spoken from your messenger came forth as a message to us, but it came forth from your word, Father. We found, as we have studied his messages, Lord, over and over again, we've found that we can take them back to the scripture and run them from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, so we know that they are God-breathed. Therefore, we ask you to help us to find each thought from this message from your holy scripture, for we know in so doing that we shall be well-grounded and ready to face the oncoming storms of judgment that are ordained to come upon this earth, and that have already begun. And Father, we know that you who gave us the word has come down now in this hour to confirm your word. And we know that you used the man of your choosing to do it. And we're thankful for that. And now help us, Father, as we would approach thy word tonight. And help us to see these thoughts that you gave to your prophet to speak. And help us to see them from your holy word. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, your beloved Son and our brother. Amen. You may be seated. I was just reading a scripture before service, and I think I might just read it tonight because it's very interesting to me. And that is from Hebrews chapter 2. And because, you know, the Bible tells us that he's not afraid or he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And so Paul said that he was the firstborn in a vast family of brothers. And so let me just read from Hebrews chapter 2. And he says, Paul says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof he spake. But once in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst see and it did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So here is Jesus declaring the Father to us. Oh, what a beautiful thought this is. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them also that are tempted. You know, what a wonderful, tremendous, wonderful Father we have, that, you know, he being Spirit, the all-sovereign God, the omnipotent, the omniscient Spirit, and yet he wanted to taste death for us. And so he entered the body of his Son that he created, that body which he prepared for himself, so that he could taste death. He could taste the suffering that you do. That he could be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. God himself, I mean, we don't think enough about that, how God himself came down, lived in that body of his Son, borrowed it, as Brother Vail said, that it was God's body, but he lent it to his Son. But God actually borrowed the body, and you know, he had to borrow the boat, and you know, he had to borrow, you know, a grave to be buried in, you know. And yet, you know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but yet God, through his Son, came down to taste the feeling of his brethren, of the children, God's children, Jesus' brethren. My, I just think about that, and I just think, wow, this is tremendous, you know, how God is he wants to know, he wants to feel your suffering. You know, he wants to identify with his seed. Now, I believe what was said in the prayer with all my heart, because we saw God work the same way in his Son Jesus, who said in John 5:19, he said, the Son can do nothing except what he seeth the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. And in John 12, where Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And we see in the same obedience and stewardship in God's prophet, William Branham, in this hour as well. So we can have confidence in knowing that everything that he taught comes right from this Bible. And if it doesn't line up with this Bible, then we're not reading it with the right mind. And that is the biggest problem we face in this message, is that many who proclaim to believe the message do not understand it. And because they do not understand the message, when they try to reflect it or quote it, they're not saying the same thing, because they don't know what was taught. And if you don't understand the subject, how are you going to teach the subject? How are you going to converse on the subject? That's why he said, give them the word test. You give a person the word test and you find out pretty quick if they know the subject. Doesn't matter if it's engineering. Doesn't matter if it's mathematics. Doesn't matter what it is. Give them the word test. Just give them a test. Put it right to them. And if they don't understand it, then Brother Branham said, there's one thing to do. Believe it and just shut up. He said, if you don't understand it, just shut up and believe it anyway. Believe it the way God said it. Not the way your mind's trying to tell you to do it, but the way God said it. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And this is the problem we have today, is because that you can't have a oneness unless the people have the same mind. And you can't have the same mind unless you have the same spirit. And Brother Branham said there's three kind of believers in every church. Three kind of believers in every, you know, he said every revival produces twins. You see, so there's going to be different spirits among you. But the problem is, you can't have one mind unless you have the same spirit. So we're joined. We are to be joined together in the same mind, Paul says. And there's only one mind that we must be joined together in, and that's the mind of Christ. Too many churches are joined to the mind of their pastor, or joined to the mind of the deacon board, or joined to the mind of the trustee board, or joined to the mind of some organization. And they're not joined to the mind of Christ. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 27, he said, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together," not striving apart, "striving together for the faith of the gospel." So Paul's desire for the people was one mind by one spirit. And then he said in Philippians 2 and 5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." So it is possible to have the mind of Christ, but as we see, we must be of one mind and one spirit. So without receiving God's own life via his own spirit, how could we ever have the mind that was in Christ? In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 we read, "For as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So no man has a clue unless God reveals it by his Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." He can't know them. Neither can he know them. Didn't say neither will he know them. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now this evening I'd like to continue with our study of the spoken word as the original seed. And we'll pick up at paragraph number 56 where Brother Branham says, "She was a high breeder, a bride. Notice through that brought death. Through trying to take the word of God and mix some wisdom with it." See, you're not supposed to do that. Whether you believe it's got wisdom to explain it, just say, "God said it," and that settles it. And God said so, and that's all there is to it. If you can't explain it, leave it alone. But just say it so because God said it so. See, just say God said it. Don't try to explain it if you don't understand it. He said, just repeat what God said. If God said it so, then you say it so. If God said that there shall be light, then there will be light. You see, if God spoke these things, then that's the way it's going to be. Verse 57, or paragraph 57. "Now notice now, it will not mix, it must not be tampered with. God will punish the one that does it, and it will not hybrid to nothing else. It's God's word alone. God don't need your word with his. We're not supposed to speak our own word. We're supposed to preach his word, God's word." Now in the paragraph that we read tonight, Brother Branham said that the original word of God is what has a life in it. And we're not supposed to mix some other wisdom with it, because it will not work if you try to get it on your own. It's not going to make it. It takes revelation to see it, and once it has been revealed to you, it becomes so easy to see that you wonder just how you missed it to begin with. In paragraph 56, Brother Bram said, I'm going to read it again. Notice, through that brought death. Through trying to take the word of God and mix some wisdom with it, you see, you're not supposed to do that. Whether you believe it's got wisdom to explain it, just say God said it and that settles it. And God said so, and that's all there is to it. If you can't explain it, leave it alone. Just say it so because God said it so. See, just say God said it. Now notice he said you can't explain it, or if you can't explain it, then just leave it alone. And say it like he said it. And that is what I have tried to tell the ministers all over the world, to just do that. I tell them, I don't care what you teach concerning the Godhead as long as you say it the way Brother Branham said it. And if you're going to say it the way Brother Branham said it, well, Brother Branham said Jesus could not be his own father. Say it like he said it. And secondarily, Brother Branham said that I'm not a oneness, so say it like he said it. And thirdly, he said Jesus and his Father were not one like your fingers one. So teach it like that. And fourthly, he said God did not enter Jesus until Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan. And fifthly, he told us that God left Jesus in Gethsemane. And sixth, he said that Jesus was a dual being because God was indwelling him. And seventh, he said that the Logos that came out of God was only a part of God. And that was the Son of God. So as long as you teach what the prophet said, then I really don't care what words you put to it to say anything else. Just don't try to mix other so-called oneness or Trinitarian wisdom, so-called wisdom, with what he said and you'll be all right. Say it like he said it. Say it just like the Bible says it. Because the Bible says it exactly like Brother Branham said it. Or he says it like the Bible said it. Because he told us the original is what contains the life. So take whatever quotes you have, match them up with God's written word, and you won't get off track. But that is the problem I see concerning this message. Men will work harder fighting what he said than just saying what he said. Isn't that interesting? I remember as a young man working many jobs going through high school and college, and I found that some of the old-timers would work harder at not working than if they just would have done the task at hand. Work harder to find a hiding place. I'll never forget when we were out doing some inventory at Kendall Futura, we found a mattress way up in the rafters. Now that's working pretty hard to get yourself a mattress put up in that rafter so you can go to sleep. Working harder. It's just incredible how people work so hard not to work. You know, there's not anything that Brother Branham said that he didn't explain it in one way or other. And if you take any quote from him concerning his teaching on the Godhead or the relationship between the Father and Son, you'll always find that he explains it either before or after he makes a statement. Just show me one quote where he says Jesus is God, and I'll show you how he clarifies that quote right after he says it. Because 99% of the time when he says Jesus was God, he says because God was living in him, or God was dwelling in his Son. Now to you ministers or laity out there listening to this sermon, I want you to hear what Brother Branham is telling you. He said, if you can't explain it, leave it alone. But just say it so because God said it so. See, just say God said it. And now Brother Branham would not have said this if there was not a problem with people concerning this. So many get it all mixed up trying to explain it to others, and they end up doing more damage than if they just wouldn't say anything in the first place. Or simply just say, well, Brother Branham said he was a dual being. Look, none of us is vindicated, but Brother Branham was. Lee Vail was not vindicated. He's a teacher. He's fivefold. He's not a prophet. I'm not vindicated. I'm fivefold. I'm not a prophet. But we did have a prophet with vindication and came, thus saith the Lord. I don't have thus saith the Lord. Except for if I teach what he says, then I'm saying what he said. That doesn't give me the power of thus saith the Lord directly from God himself. That means I've got a channel. And I'm subjecting myself to that channel. And I'm saying it like the prophet said it. And he took it back to the scripture, and I take it back to the scripture as well. In Matthew 16:13, it says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who do men say that I am? That question still goes on today. Who do men say that Jesus was? Well, some say that he is God. Some say that he's just a man. Some say that he was a prophet indeed. Some say he was a teacher. Some say, well, you know, he was the second person in a Trinity, or third person in a Trinity. And the debate goes on and on and on. But what was the answer that Jesus was so happy to hear from Peter? He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But we find in Matthew 13 and verse 10, "And the disciples came and they said unto him, Why do you speak unto them in parables?" In the book of Mark, when you read this, it says, the same in Mark chapter 4, it says, "Why do you speak to those on the outside in parables?" So you have those on the outside, you have those on the inside. "And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever is made in such a way as to be able to echo," because that word "hath" is a Greek word "echo," "to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not," or whosoever is not made in such a way as to be able to echo or say it the same way that it was said, "from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he echoes." So he might be quoting it, but he's not echoing it. You know, there is a difference. You can quote, 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 and quote yourself right into hell. You can say the same words and have a totally wrong understanding, and it's not going to come out the same. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand." So it all comes down to the understanding, you see. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." Because they're probably waxed gross too. "And their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you are hearing and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So Jesus says, look, it's not meant for everybody. This message is not meant for everyone. There's three kind of believers that hear it. From fellowship through reconciliation, Brother Branham said, Jesus promised the disciples when they came off of the mountain, he said, "Who does man say I, the Son of Man, am?" And one of them said, "Well, you're Moses." And the other one said, "Well, you're Elijah." And some said, "You're Jeremiah." He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, standing right out, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." You never learned it in a seminary. You never learned it by any man. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you." Now, the Catholic Church said it was upon Peter the confession was made. The Protestant Church said it was Christ, the rock, that he built his church upon. But if you'll notice closely, it was neither of them. It was a spiritual revealed truth of God to Peter that Jesus was the Son of God. There's what, and the Bible said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Amen. "Upon this rock," he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church upon the spiritual revealed truth." Amen. By sovereign grace, God causes men and reveals himself. Amen. What's Brother Branham saying? He's saying God didn't build his church upon Jesus. God didn't build his church in this hour upon William Branham. God didn't build his church upon Peter. He built it upon the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. Because if you understand that, if that is truly revealed to you, then you understand you are also a son. You see? So we see here a vindicated prophet tells us that the promise was not based on Jesus, the man, or Peter, the man, but it was upon the revelation of knowing that Jesus was the Son of God, that God would build His church upon that. Then how can you teach that Jesus was His own Father, or that Jesus and God are one like your fingers one? That's not what was revealed to Peter. Most people in this message that I've heard preached from that scripture, they say God builds His church on revelation. As if revelation is, you know, like some mystical thing that takes place in your brain or in your soul. What revelation did God build His church upon? Not just revelation, period. But what revelation? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because if you don't truly understand how that God could bring forth a son of a virgin-born woman and impart His life into that being and be a father to that being and that son, to be an obedient son to His Father, you'll never have a clue what God wants out of you, because you'll never see the pattern. From conference with God, Brother Branham said, now my Catholic brother, and also many of you Protestants, I'm not hurting you, but when you try to make Jesus a little lesser God than God, make Him a lesser God, you cut His feet off, you bring Him down just a little bit under the head of God, and make Him a lesser God, you are so wrong. Jesus was a man. He called Himself the Son of Man. That was a death blow to the devil. The devil's high, built Himself a kingdom more beautiful than Michael's. Cain, his son, wanted to make a pretty altar all out of fruit and things, but God doesn't dwell in that kind of beauty. So God took a man to dwell in. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus. And God entered that man to show humanity His nature, His character. And oh, what character He's got. I wish to my God that I could have that same character in the same fullness that He has. But even if I can just have a measure, I'll be grateful for that. Because that little measure that I may have is much better than I would have had without it. From look away to Jesus, Brother Bram said, now we find out that it depends on what you're looking for. A well-dressed, well-groomed, some kind of a turban, you'll never see Him because He was just an ordinary man. God deals with men. Jesus was a man. God was in the man, and He was God. From questions and answers, COD. So now the reason that this message will have to be looked on in this respect, to prove that it is. Now we know, brethren, that man cannot see God. Man, yet He is a God. Each one of you are a God. You was made to be a God, but not while you're in this life. See, Jesus was a man just like we are. But God was in Him. The fullness of God was in Him. We have the Spirit by measure. And from manifested sons of God, He said, now there's when God, what God did to bring sons and daughters to Him. Now we are these people, or who are these people? How did they ever? What did these people do to merit this? How did they ever do it? God at the beginning, before an angel was ever made. How many knows He's infinite? Now you Trinitarian brethren, I'm not wanting to hurt you, but how in the name of the good word of God could you ever place Jesus being a separate person from God Himself? Now listen to what He says here. If Jesus could take another person and make him go and die to redeem this person here, He would be an unjust being. There's only one way that God could ever do it. would be to take the place himself. And God became flesh that he might taste the pains of death, to take the sting and death away from us, that he might be redeemed by his own. And that's why he will be so worshipped. Jesus was a man. Sure he was. He was a man, M-A-N, born in the Virgin Mary. But the Spirit that was in him was God without measure. In him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was Jehovah Jireh. He was Jehovah Rapha. He was Jehovah Manassas. He was Jehovah our shield, our buckler, our healer. He was Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. He was the first, the last. He was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David, the morning star. Why, he was the all in all. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now we're a tripartite being. We have a body, we have a soul, we have a spirit. Two-thirds of us is in the spirit realm. And yet we're identified with this body more than anything else. We're identified with this flesh. As much as you might like it or not like it, you're stuck. You're stuck. Because that's what identifies you. And that's what contacts the world. And that's what people see. They don't see your heart. They see your flesh. And the object is to let your heart be seen through your flesh. You understand what I'm saying? You might say, well, you don't know my heart. No, but I know your flesh. And your flesh tells me what's in your heart. So surrender your flesh to your heart. Surrender your flesh to the soul, to the gene seed of God that is within you, so that it can be birthed into a living, breathing human, son or daughter of God. From conference with God, Brother Brown said, remember, Jesus was a man, but God was in him. And from blind Bartimaeus, he said, Jesus didn't heal people. He only healed as God showed him to heal. How many knows that? St. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father doing. And then when he stood before the people, why, he could tell them the reason that he knew that he was the Son of God and was a prophet that Moses spoke of, because he was a God prophet. See, the reason I say God prophet, that don't mean, that don't seem to take too well with you. Maybe I'd better explain it. Jesus was a man. He was just a man, a virgin-born man. That's right. He was the Son of God. His Father was Jehovah, God Almighty. That's right. And then Jehovah built him a house, which was his Son, to represent himself to the world. And God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Is that right? That was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Look. God wanted to manifest himself to the world, so he took the body of his Son to do it. Now God wants to represent himself and manifest himself to mankind in this hour. He took a prophet to do it. And now he wants to take sons and daughters to do it. Our problem is right here. We got too much trash right here. And not enough of his word right there. Jesus said, the things that I speak, the Father commanded me what to say. You say, well, I wish the Father would command me what to say, then I'd say it. He has. It's right here. He said, don't add to it. Don't take from it. It's right there. All you got to do is just open your Bible and read. And you have, thus saith the Lord. From Questions and Answers, Part 2. Please explain the Trinity. How can the Son sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding to the Father, if they are two persons? Well, beloved friend, that's a revelation. If Jesus said, I and my Father are one, then how can they be two? See? Now, they're not two. A woman once said to me, and I was explaining that, said, you and your wife are two, yet you're one. I said, but God and the Son is different from that. See? I said, you see me? Yes. Do you see my wife? No. I said, then Father and Son's different. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. See, the Father and the Son. The Father was Almighty God Almighty Jehovah God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man, God is a spirit, and no man can see God at any time. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. His personality, his being, his deity, whatever he was God. He was nothing less or nothing more than God, yet he was a man. He was a man, a house that God dwelt in. That's right. He was God's dwelling place. And so, what is your house representing to the world this evening? You see, you can look at the same thing in looking at a car. You say a certain person in the neighborhood was a real kind of a cruddy individual, had a certain car, and every time you saw that car coming down the road, you get off the road because you don't want to get run over, because that's the type of person that was driving the car. What if he sells it to a kind old person? And a new person inhabits that car. It's going to take you a while to see a difference in the power or the influence behind the steering wheel. Same way with this body of flesh. This body of flesh, look, there's a great warfare going on between God and Satan over how this body and what this body is going to represent to the world. Just let go and let God. Why would you want to hold on and have your way? For crying out loud, what? Who would want their own way? I just want to get out of here. I want God to take over my body that they have to kill me to get rid of me. Yeah, I don't mind if martyrdom's my lot. I'm going to be happy to go there. And don't be sad if it takes place in some foreign country. Because I just have my ticket home. This body is dying. It's old. It's getting old. It's ugly. I don't like it. That's why I don't video my sermons. I don't say that to be proud. I just say, what's there to look at? But if I could see Jesus Christ in everything that I do, then maybe that would be worth looking at. You understand what I'm saying? Not a show, not a performance, but a humility and a reflection of the very nature and character of God. That's all I want in my life. Sometimes my worst enemy gets in my way, and that's me. Because Brian Kosorek is my worst enemy. From Revelation chapter 1, Brother Branson, now the Catholic Church says he built it upon Peter. Well, that's really carnal thinking. You could imagine a spiritual-minded person comprehending such a thing as that, as God with his own Son standing there and yet would build his church upon a common, ordinary, sin-born man. The man proved it. He, with that same spirit upon him, he cursed Jesus and denied him right to his face. It wasn't Peter, or neither was it a rock that was laying there, as some church claims it was a rock. Not because Peter, the rock that he was speaking about there was not Peter, neither was it himself. Now, many of the Protestant people try to say it was Jesus. It was him that built the church upon. No, that's still wrong. If you notice, it was not Jesus, neither was it Peter. It was the revelation. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has done this revelation. Now, if you don't understand what he's talking about, let me try to make this very clear. The Protestants say, well, the church is built upon Jesus, and if it is, if it's built upon Jesus, if he's the rock that's built upon, then it's for him and only for him. If it's built upon Peter, and Peter denied Christ three times after it was said, cursed him and denied him, what kind of a church you got there? Why do you think the Catholic Church has such troubles? It's a personality cult. And they've made this message. A lot of people have made it a personality cult. But let me tell you something. Brother Branham's letting us know it's built upon the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And if he is the Son, he's our pattern. Now I've got ownership. I can walk in that pattern. And if I walk in the light as he was in the light, or He is in the light. Brings me into fellowship. It cleanses me from all sin. The pattern is there. As a firstborn son. As the obedient son. Now, I'm getting back with what Brother Brown was telling us in paragraph 57. He said, now notice now, it will not mix. It must be not be tampered with. God will punish the one that does it. And it will not hybrid to nothing else. It's God's word alone. God don't need your word with His. We're not supposed to speak our own word. We're supposed to preach His word, God's word. Now, while our brothers would bring forth the elements for communion, Brother Ron and Brother Mike, if you would go to bring forth the elements, let's bow our heads in prayer. I'll let the brothers go forth first, and then let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Father, we have heard Thy word tonight, and we know that Your instruction is to us was not to add to what You've said or to take from it, but all You require from us, Father, is just to say it the way that You simply said it Yourself. Therefore, we ask that You would help us, Father, to do just that when we speak to others concerning this great revelation, how that You were in Christ, reconciling the world back to Yourself. Help us, Father, to have thus saith the Lord, or just to keep still. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, Your firstborn Son, who was uniquely born. Amen. Now, if we'd open our Bibles to John chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians 11:23 for our text for our communion service as we change the order of service at this time.